Yesterday, at about 1:30, I took a little break, and I got on my motorcycle, and I went for a ride, and I was just riding, and I was just talking to God, and the prayer I was praying was, God, make yourself real to me today. And I was riding a little bit south of Morristown, and my motorcycle started sputtering out. I was like, you're kidding me. I have a quarter tank of fuel. There's no way it's empty. And it sputtered out more, and I was like yanking it left and right, trying to get fuel in the tank, and that was it. Boom, it shut off. So I coasted into a driveway, and I barely stopped. And I look across the street, and here comes a guy walking over towards me. And I, as soon as I saw him, I recognized him. And he did the same to me. He got a little closer, and he recognized me. And I was like, what's going on? What's the chances? He's like, yeah, we were just pressure washing. And my wife said, I think that guy ran out of gas. And so we walked over here. It was somebody I hadn't seen for years. And I knew him not well. We weren't close friends, but I knew him. And I knew his family. And we just started talking. And we were there for 20 minutes. He got me gas in my motorcycle. And we got called up. And I asked him how his family's doing. And he said, it's been hard. He said, my sister left her husband, and I don't know where she is. We don't talk. He said my youngest brother, he officially claims to be a homosexual. He said my older brother, we talk some. And he said the only one that really is solid, you know, keeps us together is my mom. And I was like, man. And, I mean, we got to share a little bit, and one of the things he shared in the time we were talking was that there's so many decisions he made in his life, points where he had to choose that literally put him where he is today. Those decisions, he said he was so close to choosing left or right, and he chose left. And he believes the reason he chose those choices was because of the prayers of his mom. But the bottom line was he still chose those choices. His brother and his sister didn't choose those. And they are where they are today. He has 4 kids. He has a wife that he loves. We live in a small house, beautiful little garden there. And I was like, wow. You know, I can say the same thing for me. You know, we had a very similar story. Except the difference was my dad didn't leave when I was at a crucial time in my life. And that's what happened to him. His dad walked away from his family, and it impacted his family in a huge way. So we got to pray with each other a little bit before I left, and my battery was dead in my bike, which I knew because I pop started to leave. And he pushed me down the road, and she popped off, and that was the end of it. And so I got home, and I was extremely blessed. I was very encouraged by that. And if I need to be honest, which I try to be, that morning wasn't that way at all. Yesterday morning was pretty tough because I asked myself questions that I don't like to hear my mind ask. You know, is God real? What is this all for anyway? Is this all just a mess? Like, what are we doing? And I sat on our patio. I asked my wife those questions, and, you know, I could have chose to just absorb myself in that, or I could have sought God, which was what happened, because I left on my bike, and I was just praying out to God, and he answered my prayer, and he showed himself real. So, I'd like to walk you through a little bit of a journey that I've been on the last couple weeks. I'm going to need some volunteers, 2 people to help pass out some papers. Dad, Josh. So I printed them off. I have it up here too. So I printed them off so that you can make notes on them. I think it's probably easier to remember if you actually write down each point in this picture. And you can keep it for yourself. And this is part of the questions that I've been asking myself the last couple weeks. So this is a picture of the journey of life. And it was something that I came upon just one morning. I was just looking into the word passion and purpose and vision. And this came up on a YouTube post, and I looked at it, and it was actually by a company named Authentic Education. And it's geared, like, the guy's heart behind it was towards business. And he was breaking down the individual's lives, and I thought it was so powerful that I really wanted to share it with you guys. So we're going to look at 6 points this morning. I'm going to try to go through them and make them as clear as possible, but this really, really impacted me, and I hope it does the same to you. So the 6 points are going to be values, number one, purpose, number two, mission, number three, goals, number four, vision, number five, and message, number six. So if you're thinking we're going to be here till 2 o'clock, not right. There's not a whole lot behind each one, but they're powerful in each one. So the first thing I want to look at is your values. Okay, so that is, let me get this thing going here. That is this right here, all right? See on your paper the compass. And I believe that our values are our compass in life. What is the definition of values? It's a person's principles or standards of belief, one's judgment on what is important in life. Person's principles and standards of belief. One's judgment on what is important in life. And this is crucial because before you start any journey, no matter what that journey is, you need to know which way you're going. Okay? So the question we have to figure out, first of all, is what are our values? And I ask myself this question. Are your values yours? Are they yours? Do you know what you believe and why you believe it? Or are they someone else's that you chose to adopt as yours? Did you claim someone else's values as your own? Or do you know what you believe? If I claim Jesus Christ as Lord of my life, my values need to be based on the example that He lived and the truth found only in the Bible. So this is not a group of people that have influenced you. This is not the values that your parents had, or the values that your church leaders hold up, or the values that your friends have. This needs to be yours. You need to own them. Unless we personally own our values, how can we expect to have victory when we need to choose right or wrong? When we're faced with a decision, as we're walking through life, how can we expect to have victory if we do not have our own values that we believe in? I believe there's two types of values. There's worldly values and there's godly values. That's it. You're not going to be able to find a third option. Well, every now and then this thing's going to go to sleep. So I should have changed that setting earlier. I'll try to touch it every now and then. All right. So, like I said, worldly values and godly values. So what are worldly values? Worldly values are just a couple of them. Get you an idea. They are wealth. They are power. Pleasure. Revenge. Fame and status. That's what the world's chasing after. These are the most important things in life to the people who experience no power or purpose beyond themselves. Their values are based upon what they can achieve, and that's it. There is no purpose or power beyond themselves. Others, because of the pain that they've experienced in life, make their choices through that pain. And that becomes their value. The most thing that they value is the pain that they've experienced, and they can't let it go. And so every choice they make from then on is based upon that pain. And they cannot experience any value bigger than themselves. What is the result of living by worldly values? It promotes jealousy, resentment, conflict among people, and unhealthy relationships. Because their lives are aligned with the purpose of the devil. There is no two options. If you're living your life based upon worldly values, and these become a part of who you are, then your life is based upon the purpose of the devil. And what is the purpose of the devil? The purpose of the devil is to dishonor God. The second type of values is biblical values. These are Christ-like values. These are the values that He showed us as He lived here on earth. Those values are kindness and respect for all people instead of power. So instead of status, your value would be humility. That's honesty and generosity instead of wealth. They're directly opposite. It's self-control instead of self-indulgence. And it's forgiveness instead of revenge or resentment. These are biblical, Christ-like values. What is the result of living a life on the Christian values, the Christ-like values? Well, Christian values promote peace, fulfillment of life, and healthy relationships. Why? Because the people who live by these values are aligned with the purpose of God. And what is the purpose of God? It's to glorify Him. I would like to read out of Ephesians. If you have your Bible, turn to Ephesians 2. We're going to read verses 1 to 10. Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 10. And you, He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But this is the part that I want you to hear. Verses 1 to 3 are the values of the world. That was the life before God. Verses 4 to 10, it says, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love, which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, because by grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. So, we preach and we teach and we believe faith by grace through faith, right? Okay, so we are not saved by our works. Not of works. But, this is the part that I want you to get. I'm going to read it again. Verses 9 to 10. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Does that sound contradictory to you? We are not saved by our works, but we are created for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk with him. It's not contradictory. Don't misunderstand me. We are not saved by our works, but we are created for good works. So if there is faith, there needs to be works. The works are the evidence of faith. So that's the first part. That's our values. Number one. And remember, they are your values. They are not someone else's you've adopted. They need to be your values. And the second thing we're going to look at is the question mark. Man, I'm glad I printed those papers out for you. The question mark at the bottom of the page, at the very bottom of that path. Okay? So that's right here. What does the question mark stand for? The question mark is your why. What is your why? What is your purpose? This question can only be answered after I own my values. Okay, so if you don't have values of your own, you don't have a why. You don't have a purpose for what you're living for. My purpose is then fulfilled as I act on my values. So I ask the question, as a believer, if you claim Jesus Christ, if you claim Jesus Christ, you are a believer in Jesus Christ. Is that right? Okay, you claim Jesus Christ. So you are a believer. As a believer, what is your purpose? I'm going to read Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14. It says this, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." So our purpose is to fear God and keep his commandments. This is man's all. We're going to read Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16. And this is a very, very familiar verse. "You are the salt of the earth, for if the salt loses its flavor, how should it be seasoned? Is it then good for nothing? But to be thrown out and trampled under men, underfoot by men? You are the light of the world. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Your purpose is to walk this journey. And in that journey, your purpose is to let your light shine that they may see your good works. So if we have faith and we believe in our hearts that we are saved from our sins, but we're not walking a journey that's showing Christ's life, what does that tell us? If our lives are not reflecting Jesus Christ as we're walking this journey of life, what does that tell us? And that moves us from the question mark into the path. So we got our compass, our values. We got our why, our purpose. And then we have this path. What is that path? The path is our mission. The path is what we do and how we live our life, how we walk through life. This is how our purpose is fleshed out every day. And that path will probably look different for each one of us. We all have a different starting point. We all have a different background. We all come from different families. So this path isn't going to look the same for all of us. And the other thing is, we're all at a different place in our Christian journey. So we need to have grace for each other, which is something that I need to work on. And that's just the reality. But we all have a different starting point, and we all are at a different place in that journey. So as we faithfully walk each step in our journey, I believe that God will begin to show us His vision for our lives. Okay? So this here, I'm going to get to this more later, but right here, this is the path of our life as a Christian, okay? And this, right here, is our vision. Okay? So as we walk our journey in life, we walk on this path, I believe God will continue to show us His vision for our lives. Ultimately, our path will take us to our vision. And we're going to get back into that a little bit more. But first, we're going to look at one more thing. So now we're at the goals. All right, so what are the goals? What are your goals in life? And they're represented up here by these green arrows. All right? And these are pointing toward your path. All right? So what is our goals? What's the definition of a goal? A goal is the object of a person's ambition of effort. An aim or desired result. That is your goal. The object of a person's ambition or effort. What are your goals? So what is the purpose of setting goals? Is it a good thing? Absolutely, I believe it's a good thing. Can it be a bad thing? Well, look where they're pointing you. Look at the arrow that your goal is pointing you in. Is it pointing you in the direction of your path? If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, is your goals pointing you in the direction that you want to be going? I believe that setting and achieving goals in our lives produce evidence of progress towards our vision. I know it's getting probably a little confusing because of all the words that can be jumbled. But I believe, I'll say it again, I believe that setting and achieving goals in our lives produce evidence of progress towards our vision. The goals are not the destination. That's what we have to remember. Our goals are not our destination. They are evidence of progress. When there is no vision linked to a goal, we often experience a sense of depression immediately after that goal is achieved because there is no vision behind it. So if there's a purpose for your goal, then there is affirmation in that goal because it is evidence that you're going towards your vision. Outside of that, it's empty. There's no purpose. As a follower of Jesus, our primary goal should be to become more like Christ. So if your goals in life, whether they, no matter what they are, they're going to be different for every person. But if that goal's ultimate purpose, if its primary purpose is to become more like Christ, then your goals are aligning you to where you want to be going in life. And then we're going to look at the last part here. Well, it's actually not the last part. There's one more after that. The vision. Okay, so this has this, it could have a picture that in your mind, that's heaven, okay? So it could look like heaven. That's not what I'm trying to say. So just remove that. It's not a picture of heaven. This is the vision that God is calling you to. And if you see, as it opens up at the end there, it's endless. The options are completely endless. God can use each one of us in powerful ways. And vision is different from purpose. So our purpose is at the bottom, and I believe that we, as Christians, as believers in God, all share the same purpose. So that's the same. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you claim Jesus Christ, your purpose should be the same as mine. We all should share the same purpose, but your vision is different. Because that's what God is calling you to individually. And he would use your skills and your resources that he's blessed you with for that vision. Very different than our goals. From our purpose. And I see things like Cheyenne going out and just chasing her heart. She's chasing her vision. And she is going and serving in Greece. Awesome. I see Dawson, and he's going and he's putting himself in harm's way for these next couple months. He's chasing his purpose. And his goals are aligning with that to receive a vision from God. I see people that live here today in our church every day when we walk, and they are living their life walking towards their vision. The guy I met yesterday, it was so evident just talking to him. He didn't have to be in the mission field to be living his life towards a vision. It's awesome. Our vision is something worthy of dedicating our lives to. And that individually will be different for each person. So I asked the question, I'm going to repeat it a little bit here again, but I'm going to ask the question, how do we receive this vision? I feel like it can be confusing. How do we receive this vision? And I believe all these words, for me personally, I feel like I struggle to put them together in a picture, and that's what I believe this diagram has helped me do. It's because I'm very compartmentalized. So I'm like, all right, my values are important. Values, values, values. And then I'm like, okay, well, can't be all about values. I should have better goals. I need to do better with my goals. So I put values away and I get goals out. And I'm like, okay, I need to set some goals here. I need to do better at this. I need to do better in my devotions. I have to have more time with God and I have to hear from Him. And then I'm like, well, what's my purpose? I'll put goals back and then I'll get purpose out. And it's confusing to me. But this is a picture of how they all fit together and how our life should reflect all these things at one time. All right, so that was a little bunny trail. Back to vision here. I believe that we receive vision through our relationship with Jesus Christ and a willingness to be used by Him. So as you're walking on your life and you're walking your path here, are you willing to be used by God? Is He pointing you in little directions that you're being used by God? And you're like, you know what? I'm going to do that. Yeah, it's stretching. But this very well could be one step towards the vision that God has for me. It's being faithful in the little things. He will continue to lead us towards our vision that He has for us in those little things. And this is where we find true fulfillment. Outside of that, if we are living for our goals and we're living for what we think we want to achieve, worldly values, there's no fulfillment in that. It is empty. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. There's this little phrase that keeps going around in my head, and it's like I'm constantly reminded of it, but it is lonely at the top. When you've achieved all that you wanted to achieve in life, you've just achieved loneliness. Is that where you want to end up? If your values are based upon worldly values. I believe that Jesus knows all our steps and all our stages as he leads us through this journey in life. He already knows it's going to happen. And he promises that he will be there with us every time that we fall. To ensure that we are blameless at the completion of our journey. We're going to fall. We're going to mess up. We're probably going to get off this path and end up over here somewhere. But we need to get back on and get it straightened out again. This is a story of my life. And last but not least, if you look here, he's saying something. This little dude that's walking this journey is saying something. And that is our message. What is your message? Put yourself in any given conversation, any given group of people. What is the heartbeat of your conversations? What is evident in your posts on social media, on your whatever? Where are your thoughts naturally go? If you had one sentence to tell someone, what would that be? What would you say to them? What is your message? The guy that drew this diagram and presented it in the video, his message is live your love. I thought that was pretty cool. The reality is you could love building cars, and that's fun. I love it. But if I'm living my love, if I'm living building cars, what's the use in that? So live your love, but know where your love should be. Think about Nike. What's Nike's message? Just do it. That's right. So everyone knows Nike's message. Does everyone know yours? And the conclusion, to wrap it up, this diagram is for believers and unbelievers. It doesn't make a difference, and it works. Because we are all people. What sets us apart from the unbelievers is the answers that we give to these questions and how we live these questions out. If your compass is set towards the values of the world, that is all your life will accomplish. And I ask myself, what is Christianity? Is Christianity a get out of hell free pass that we stick in our back pocket? Is that what it involves? Well, I don't want to go there, so I best get the card. Or is Christianity a calling to live for a bigger purpose than ourselves? I encourage you to claim a bigger purpose and journey towards the vision that God has waiting for you. Claim a bigger purpose and journey towards a vision that God has waiting for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for speaking to me. And Lord, I thank you for showing yourself real to me yesterday. I pray that you continue to do that in my life, and I pray that you continue to do that in the lives of every person here today. God, help us to remember what you showed us today, and I pray that we would live our lives in this way. In Jesus' name.